Okay, so I feel like this is going to become a theme in many of our shiurim, but let's see who can remember this. Guess who sent me a message about our shiurim? What? Hi, Adam. So, Adam messaged me. I did not get a chance to look it up, but he said, okay.
Are we ever going to meet this guy?
What? Adam, there's a request for you to come and meet us. Good. So Adam pointed out that there is another nafka mina. So we remember we said that there are two basic understandings of this obligation of kisidron, that the Torah has to be written in, sorry, not the Torah, the tefillin and mezuzah must be written in order. One is that presented by the Sefer HaTrumah Beit Yosef, which is
well, that it comes from Tolan.
One second. We'll get to Tolan in a second. Right? That it get that what? That what does kisidron mean? It obligates it that it be
written in order.
Written in order, and the Ran thinks it needs to
just be
the final product needs to be in order. How does that relate to Tolan?
Well,
according to
the final product has to be in order, then you could do Tolan.
Good, right? According to the Beit Yosef, if it's above the line, right, you write it out of order, but the final product is in order. Is that considered Tolan?
No.
Sorry, is that considered kisidron? No, it's puzzle. According to the Ran,
yes.
Kashir. Good. So Adam said that the Kesed HaSofer, he thinks in Chakira Chet, but he's not sure, and he didn't get a chance to look it up, and I didn't get a chance to look it up because I only listened to the message late last night, right? Said that the opposite Nafkamina is also true. What's the opposite Nafkamina? So, I have so many Sofer here to choose from. Daniel. Daniel's writing a mezuzah, okay? And he realizes that there isn't enough space to the end of the line to get in everything he wants to get in. So he decides, lechatchila, that he is going to be tolan. Not out of order, but in order, meaning he's going to write like this. Right? He's going to write, I don't know, pick a pasuk that you like.
Shema Yisrael.
There you go. That's a good one. You could start at the beginning, but that's not really going to work. Like how he is out of how Daniel managed to be out of space. In the middle of a pasuk somewhere. That's what I'm saying. Fine. Ukshartem laot al. Fine. Right. So he decides that he wants ukshartem laot al to all be on this line, but he only has room for ukshartem al. So what does he do? He doesn't write ukshartem al and then go back and be tolel laot. What does he do? Ukshartem. No, he writes Ukshartem. And then he writes Lo'od in the upper margin. And then he writes Al on the normal line. So, according to the Beit Yosef, is that Mutter? Yes! Right, 100%! He's writing in order. Right? Right, he's writing it in order. Right, so he says, and if you think that the only problem with Tolan is Kisidron... Maybe.
Why would he say that?
No, because remember the Ron? No. But the Ron says, no, that's in order, but it's still puzzle, remember?
The Ron said you could write it on the top margin.
No, he didn't. He said you could write it on the side margin. He said the problem with the top margin isn't because of Kisidron. The problem is that that's not how you're supposed to write. There's an objective problem with having it in the upper margin. Remember, that was the Ron's argument. He said the side margin is fine. The upper margin, it's considered in order. Because it's in order. But it's puzzle because it's not a normal way to write. So according to the Ron, it's problematic. Right? Right?
Yes.
Right? So ironically, right, if you write in order, incorporating the upper margin, according to Beit Yosef,
it's kosher.
Kosher the Mahadran. According to the Ron,
nope.
Not great. Right? Not good because he thinks the problem is the final product and having something in the upper margin is shelo kederech. It's not how things are supposed to be written, and therefore it's kisidron, but it's tolan. Remember the Ron one. But remember one of the nafkaminas of the question of Beit Yosef and the Ron was: is tolan a function of kisidron? Right, according to the Beit Yosef,
yes,
it was. But according to the Ron, these are two separate problems.
So he'll say
it's kisidron, but it's not. But it's tolan, right? Meaning, according to the Beit Yosef, tolan is reducible to kisidron.
Right.
So if I solve the kisidron problem, because I write ukshartem laot al,
you can use tolan.
Then it's fine. I can use tolan.
But the Ron,
because now I wrote it, I was tolan in order.
But the Ron says no matter.
But the Ron says tolan is objectively a problem. It's not about kisidron. It's an independent problem of nakedach tivato.
So, not sure. So he says even if you go back and do Tolan,
according to Ron, correct. According to Ron,
okay.
No. According to Ron, if I go back and do Tolan, it's not a Kasidron problem. It's a Tolan problem, which for the Ron is not about Kasidron, right? So he said that's the opposite Nafkamina, right?
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Right, Daniel. Keep that in mind when you're writing your first mezuzah. Noted. Noted. Okay, good. Who's writing me a Megillah this year? Nachum? No, writing me. Not writing a Megillah. Who's writing me a Megillah? Who's writing me a Megillah?
Let me use it.
Okay. Like, we have so many sofrim. I want. Joking. What?
Apparently last year they didn't do anything.
What?
My dad has first.
Oh, fine, Nachum. Fine. Give it to your father.
I'm sorry to keep going.
Yeah.
Oh, does that the cute Ava Aim, like the Ve'et part, does that actually refer to siblings?
Yes.
Because I've told my brother that before. When
yes, it does. It's a Gemara in Ksuba's Daf Kuf Gimel.
So it's true.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Great.
Okay, good.
That's like my favorite pasuk in the whole entire Torah now.
I'm glad.
I've used
everyone has a favorite pasuk, sure, and yours is just the
no,
just,
it's not just an S.
Yeah, it's just S. That's it. I just like an S. What is the most inspiring part of the Torah for you?
The S.
Shema. Yes, sir. Did you bro? The S. S. Yeah.
I mean, the S.
Yeah. That's exactly it. Yeah. God have mercy. Okay. Good. Okay. So now, look for a moment at Shulchan Aruch and the Gra here. So the Shulchan Aruch weighs in on the halacha that Otiot Hashem Tzarech Shu Kulam Betoch Hadaf Le'etzem Ha'em Kol Chotzal Daf. The letters of the name you want in the column. Okay? But the Gra here comments, D'chutz L'daf Midin Tliya Hu V'Ein Tolen Miksar Hashem. And what does the Gra say that he doesn't want to have Shem Hashem in the margin,
right.
in the outside margin?
He's saying it's the same thing as writing if it's Tolan, but like half the letter on.
Correct.
The
Correct, right? The Gra says that the side margin is a problem of Tolan. Now, who is he posking like
Ron.
The Ron? Why?
Because just Tolan's not okay. It's not
no, because Tolan is a problem of Tolan.
It's
right. It's different than Kasidron. Meaning, when you write and you hang something in the side margin, did you write it in order?
Yes,
you just went over into the margin, right? But he calls that Tolan, which means that he understands it like the Ron, right? That Tolan is independent of the problem of Kasidron.
But would he say it's kosher like the Ron?
No, he says it. No,
the Ron says Tolan is kosher.
Not for Shem Hashem. The Ron says in general, and then there's, but the halacha is.
Does the Ron consider Tolan kosher?
Tolan in the side margin, not in the upper margin.
Right.
But in the side margin. But Shem Hashem is possible.
Even in the side margin.
But Shem Hashem is different because Ain Tolan mixes.
So Tolan's just not.
Mixes Hashem.
He says it's not
right?
good.
Right? Mixes Hashem.
He says it's not good, but it still counts.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, he's. Or Mixes Hashem. But what, again, without getting to the. We haven't gotten yet to the uniqueness of Shem Hashem. Right? Let's hold it.
Yeah, it's at number 7.
We'll hold it for a moment. But the Gra clearly holds that Tliya is independent of Kasidron. Right, because he's referring to that which is in the side margin as a problem of Tolan. Okay, good. Good. So now let's try to understand this rule of Kasidron, okay? We've dealt with the first question, which is really the question also is Kasidron related to Tolan? But again, you all you who've done sophras know that if you're writing your tefillin, you're writing the mezuzah, you have to be makud on Kasidron. Right? We're makbid, unless I'm mistaken, on Kasidron of the Beit Yosef, right? To write it in order. Right?
Yeah, if you...
Yes, one of my neighbors is a sofer for fun on the side.
We learned that if you write, let's say, the four parshas in order, and then the first one gets ruined, if you replace the first one, but the one that you're replacing it with was written after those other three, you have to replace all of them.
Correct. Right, that's from this halacha. Very good. So he said, right, what he pointed out is that he said most people don't realize, guys, he said what people don't realize, he said is people will obsessively check their tefillin and their mezuzahs. But what's the problem? Sofer guys.
You're going to have to get new ones.
What? No, what's the problem with checking? What's the problem with checking?
I don't know if it's written in order.
Yeah, he said in the end of the day, right, checking is not going to help. He's going to help you a little bit, right? But there are certain things, if you poskim the Beit Yosef's Kesedron, that has to be written in order. You could look at your tefillin from now for the next 100 years, right? And you will never know if it was written out of order.
If you see it on the top margin, you might say, oh, that problem was written.
No, but if it's... But it's also, even if it was just written second parsha, first parsha.
But if you hold like the wrong...
No, but he says, since we pass on the Beit Yosef, it has to be written in order.
Right. So, but if you write on the top margin...
Forget the top margin. If the Sofer decided to write Bahaya and then Shema,
right,
it's just puzzle forever, and you'll never know.
Oh,
right?
Okay,
right? No, even if you open it up, how would you ever know?
Because it's not written
Why don't...
No, it is. He wrote it...
No,
he took the cloth.
Why don't we make the sofa?
Yes.
Why don't we make the sofa dated?
But, I mean, his point was that unless you find a sofer with Yerushalayim, who you trust, looking at your tefillin from now for forever, will not tell you that it's kosher.
Why don't we just
no, but this part is
no fine if it's tolin. But if it's
tolin, would you have more shash to say that it's possible?
Maybe yes, maybe no. But he's saying, but you could have something which looks perfect. But if you paskin like the Beit Yosef's Kesedron, right?
Yeah.
Why don't we make the?
It won't help you.
Why don't we make the sofa like date it? Like what time you finish? Just so, like we.
Oh, you're right. It's very hard to forge a date and time stamp.
No, but like he writes it like.
No, first of all, we don't add extraneous writing.
Not like on it, but like.
What's it called? Get them.
Like on just a piece of paper near.
Live
stream.
All right, if you check it right.
Look, people have nehamanos. Look, there are interesting trailers that I didn't give you of what happens if a sofer dies, right?
Or
he just dies.
Stop.
He dies.
He did.
He died. And you go to his house. You go to his house, and there's 100 of each parsha.
So
what do you do? So, right, so the question is, do you assume that a kosher sofer is never going to write a shul kesedron, and therefore you can figure out which was meant to be with which?
But if you see the ayah...
But couldn't you just, let's say, write, like, all of...
No, you can't do
that.
One of
them in order? Like, all, like, 100
nope.
of those? No,
can't do that. Right? So that was the question. Can you assume that these are all kosher? Right? And how would you figure it out? This is the shayla. I didn't
or
give it to you.
Just don't go by the base yosef.
Yeah, we do. We do.
Why?
Sorry.
How do we decide that?
What?
How do we decide basis? Is right.
Right. I don't know about right. We decide that we. Ashkenazim, do sure. Okay. Now, why is there an obligation of kesedron? Okay. Why is this even a halacha?
You said it's part of the ring.
Because the original Torah was written in order, and we have to mimic that.
You're guessing. What? Okay, so let's look inside. Okay, let's do 9 and 10 here. There are two central explanations that are suggested. One is by the Beit Yosef quote from the Ri Askandarni, if you remember him, and the other is from the Mabit.
Yes.
Okay. So who wants to take the Beit Yosef? Go ahead. Number 9.
Im kotev b'tefillin mezuzah o echad chalokos l'shnei osios. If he wrote in tefillin mezuzah one letter in two parts, kegon like a tzadi shechtov yud nun, he wrote a tzadi in like a yud and a nun, o a shin shechtiv ayin v'yud, and he wrote a shin and ayin yud, o a chet shnei zinin. And if you wrote a chet with two zayins, hinu yuchol lechaburam, he can't put it together. Achar kaf, shenim tu kotein shalo al haseder, because he didn't write it in order. The bia re'e mirushami perikama de bila, which brings from a paragraph in bila. Tolin be siram,
besfarim,
ve'ein tolin be tefillin ziza. You can use tolin in Tevi Torah, the ain tolin, and you can't use a tolin in tolin mezuzah. The ain behu,
the beinan behu,
you
vehayu,
vehayu, you niftobos al seder mashma.
Right. So he says he takes it as a gzeiras hakasher from what word?
Vehayu.
V'hayu hadvarim ha'ela, right? That the words should be
in order.
Right? V'hayu, they shall be. Right? That is how the Beit Yosef quotes it, that the drasha emerges from v'hayu.
Right. Right, Shema in order.
What? Right,
from Shema.
Yeah, that these words have to be
in order.
In order. V'hayu, they shall be as they shall be. Right? Okay, good. What does the Mabit say? And then he connects it to Tliya. Good. Okay. What does the Mabit say?
I didn't get this part.
Okay. Yeah, right, because Svarim don't have to be in order, remember? Kesedron, is it right? Remember that? Right, Svarim, as in Sefer Torah, yes. Okay, so you want me to read them a bit, or someone want to try them a bit, even if you didn't read it yet?
I'll try.
Okay, good, go. No, there's no difference. In Chiluk, there's no difference.
Oh, no difference
between Parshas letters and words. And here, I'm sure that the Suva, Sidran, and Shemayim word, Hilchisa Gemirila. It is a halacha that we learned, or also alternatively, how do you, that was the parse? Halacha Limoshe Misinat. Right? Meaning, why do they have to be in order? They got to be in order because they got to be in order.
Yes.
Don't ask me why. It's got to be in order. Now.
A few of the one that says, Hashem's name. The answer came later on.
Right? As it says later on, "Bechsiva moded binan seder shekazuv b'Torah." Okay, good. So now there are two main explanations that are offered for this rule of Kesidron. One is it's halacha moshe Sinai, meaning it just is, right? It just is. Don't ask me why. It is. The other is that it comes from the pasuk v'hayu. These shall be in order. Now, if you look for a moment, skip for a moment to 13, and then I'm going to ask you another question, okay? 13, the Gemara in Brachot is talking about saying Shema. And the Gemara says, Rama Frelo Yatza, Bamed Bar Mamurim Besid Apsukim, Aval Hik Tim Parsha Lechaverta, Aval Pishena Rasha Yatza, Lefishena Musmucha Labato Ra. Says that if you read Shema out of order, you shouldn't. You should always say it in order, right? But if you say it out of order, then what? If you read the psukim of Shema out of order, are you Yotze?
Yeah.
No.
No.
But if you read the parshiot out of order, are you Yotze?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. And we derive it from which pasuk? Take a guess. V'hayu. V'hayu hadvarim ha'ele. So now, I'm going to come back to the following question. The rule of Kesidron, to the extent that it exists, there are three parts to the Sefer.
Words,
three
letters.
Good. Words, letters, parshiot. Right? So now tell me, which of those does Kesidron apply to? Words, letters, parshiot. What do you think? Good. Why would you say all of them?
Not parshiot.
No, why would you say all of them?
It's clearly
The Gabi.
Still the order of the Torah.
Why would you say they all have to be in order?
The Hayu.
No. I just said, the Gemara in Brachot says that if you read Shema out of order, if it's the Psukim, you're not Yotzei. If it's the Parshiot,
You're Yotze.
You are Yotze. So now if I ask you...
It's Pesukim in words.
It's just...
What?
Partials. According to the...
Wait, wait, wait. Oh, the way around. Only not the partios.
It's Pesukim in the words.
Partios you are...
So, thank you.
The partios you are Yotze.
So, thank you. Wait. If you think that it comes from Halacha Moshe Misinai, then what might it include?
Pesukim.
Everything. You have to write the parsha in order. You have to write the psukim in order. The letters in order. But if you think it's derived from v'hayu, and you know that in the context of saying Shema, you're yotze if you say Shema in the parsha out of order. Right? Because the parsha are next to each other in the Torah anyways. Right?
Yes.
That's the argument in Brachot. So then, if you write the parsha out of order, what should it be? Kosher or pasul?
Kosher.
Right?
Right?
Right.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. This might, right, depend on this. Now,
clearly says that it's all free.
Good. So now, okay. Good. Now, can I make something very hard for you?
Yes, please.
Yay! I could do something very hard. I'm so excited.
This is what brings you joy.
What?
This is what really brings you joy.
Okay. I was going to hold off on this, but maybe I'll throw it at you now, okay?
Yes.
Sofrim! My Sofrim, my dear Sofrim, my dear Sofrim. Okay. What?
We're only up to Dalit, just for the record.
Okay, it's fine. I'll throw this at you now. I was going to hold on to it, but I'll come back to this. I want to make this point, because I want you to understand how important this is, okay? How many of you wear one pair of tefillin?
No.
I wear
four pairs of tefillin? Wow, you're from.
My left leg, my right leg, left arm, right arm.
And then you're four.
And then one.
Good. So, good. Tell me, why do people wear... Okay, what type of tefillin do we wear? What are they called?
Rashi
tefillin, thank you. What are the other tefillin that float around?
Abinu,
Tam. Right? You know, so like, this is like, once in a while, you'll get a very, very smart Chabadnik who will want to get you, right? He'll like, come up to you and say, did you put on tefillin today? And you'll be like, really? Like, really? Are you asking me, honestly? Right? But if they're really smart, they'll say, did you put on the Chabadnik Tam? Because the answer is, for many of us, no. So put on your Chabadnik Tam tefillin. Okay. Good. What is the difference between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin?
The order of the
Parshia.
Good. What are the order of the Parshia? Now tell me.
Not what Rashi does.
Good. Good. Okay. Our Tefillin. What are they written in? What is the order of the
Kaddish Leib Hayaki V'Yachashma V'Hayayin Shema.
In other words, what are they called? What we call Kesidran Cheng Tuvin Batora. Rashi holds that the order of the Parshiot is
in
the order that they are written in the Torah. Rabbeinu Tam, does he think that?
No.
No, he does not think that. Okay?
Therefore, it doesn't apply to Parshiot.
Ah! Very good. So look at 18. Look at 18. I'm going to help you through this because this is not an easy Tosfot, which is why I held off on it. But now you will understand the basic machlokas, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, even though we might have to come back to this when we do tefillin. Okay? Which, honestly, I was looking at, and I think I might just skip to tefillin after Yom Tov, because there's... Okay, parenthetically, after our Gemara, the Gemara says, we paskin like Rav Shimon ben Shazuri. And then the Gemara says, what does that mean? And the Gemara says, we paskin like Shimon Shazuri in the halacha of Tolin, and also in other places. And the Gemara says, what are the other places? And then for two blot, it goes on for random sugyot in which Rav Shimon Shazuri weighed in and says, is it that? Are we talking about that? How about that? That goes for two blot.
But whenever he puts
wow.
in his...
Okay, and then there are then we go to fascinating sugyot about mezuzah. Problem being, what's the problem with doing the sugyot of mezuzah?
It's not very possible.
We did it last year. Nachum, please. Yes, that's the only technical problem. So maybe I'll ask Ray Wasserman if he wants to do it, because this way at least he'll do it differently than I did. Right? What? I mean, because right after Yom Tov I'm going to America, so maybe he'll do mezuzah while I'm gone.
Right?
Because that's really the next thing. Mezuzah's great, so go.
And I clearly remember.
Yeah, but I don't want you to hear it from me again, because of course you remember everything I taught you. Yeah. Every detail, right? Nachum? No, I have a better idea. Nachum is giving shir on mezuzah for a week and a half. No, no, I think you should give a week and a half of mezuzah, Nachum. It's you and you can split it up with Yosef and Shimon.
Where are you going?
You can have Donnie Skype. Okay, good.
Where are you going in America?
Like, okay. Good. So Tosfos says as follows, guys.
Yeah.
Okay. Perish Bekuntris. So Rashi says, this is number 18, guys. Kiseder Shehen Ktuvin Batorah. The Parshiot of Tefillin are written in the order that they're written in the Torah. Mukdam. What does that mean? What does Mukdam mean?
Before.
By the way, guys, if you don't want to look at a source sheet, don't. Open up your Gemara at the Lamed Aleph Beis. I was being nice by highlighting the main point, but you can look at it inside. Mukdam, Milchar. Rashi says, what is the order of your tefillin?
Earlier,
later, or first things first, last things last. Right? This is not so complicated, right? Mukdam. Good. So, and therefore he says that when the Gemara says HaKorei Kisidran, the one who is reading them reads them in order, what does that mean? That if you would open up your tefillin and read it, and you would read it in order that it's written in your tefillin, it would be the equivalent to reading in the order that it's written in the Torah. That's Rashi. Okay? Just so you know, that is how your tefillin are written.
So you can be in the reading the Torah from reading the film.
Is that what I said? That's not what I said. I know.
Okay,
that's not
why
what I
would
said.
You read it?
If you would, meaning he's saying the order of your tefillin are in order of the Torah.
No, so is he just like trying to reiterate his point?
No, that is his point. He's not reiterating it. That is his point.
First things first, last things last.
He's interpreting the line in the Gemara, which says HaKorei Kesidran, the one who reads it reads in order. And Rashi says what that means is that the parsha and the tefillin are written in order as they are in the Torah, and therefore if one would read them, it would be in order.
Therefore.
What? That
doesn't mean written.
It
doesn't mean written, it just means in that order. From Rashi, you can't tell if it means it has to be written in that order or just put in that order after.
Okay. Hold the thought. So he says, and that, the problem is that the Gemara elsewhere says, Kadesh v'hayaki v'avecha miyamin mimino shel korei kamar. Right? It says that the parsha of Kadesh and v'hayaki v'avecha are on the right hand side of the right. On the right, what does the right mean? So Rashi interprets it the right hand side of one who would read them. Right? Because Hebrew is written
right to left.
Thank you. This was not a trick question, guys. Right, Nachum?
Yes.
Hebrew is written left to right. Right?
What? No.
Good, you're listening, Baruch Hashem. Okay. V'hashek shu korei k'darko miyamin lishmalo nimtza korei k'sidran. And therefore, if one reads, he reads right to left. V'kashe l'Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam is bothered. He has a problem with this. What's Rabbeinu Tam's name again? First name.
Yaakov.
Yay. Good. Baruch Hashem.
Oh, not
Chabad. What? He says, I don't like this. De'amai palginu shekorei shtehen rishonot miyamin. They call acharonot mismal. If it were true that all four were in order, then why would the Gemara say that Kadesh and Vihaya are on the right-hand side? Because what does that make it sound like? It's not in order, because it sounds like there's a difference between Kadesh and Vahaya and Shema and Vahaya, but there isn't. According to Rashi, they're all in order. It's not a group of two and two, it's four. Four are written in order. So yes, of course, the first two are on the right hand side, and the next two are on the left hand side. There's not much of a chiddush that's called 1, 2, 3, 4, go in the direction of 1, 2, 3, 4, right? This is not, right? This is all very simple, right? Yes? We read this way. So he said, what is this? You're right.
Well, it's your direction.
Okay, fine. Nachum, which direction do we read? Wonderful. Good. So he says, He said, if it's all four are just in order, then just say? Yes, just say all four in order. Say, 1, 2, 3, 4, or 1, 2, 3, 4. I don't care which way you go, right?
He's saying it could be 1, 2, and then 4.
He said, I don't get it. Why would the Gemara say, put Kadesh and Vahaya on the right side, if what it meant was, just write them in order? Then just say...
Write them in order.
Start from the first and go.
No, because it doesn't have to be written.
Well, one second.
Sorry.
Okay.
The right side is the way you're facing it.
So he says, therefore skip down to the line before the bold. Umifaresh Rabbeinu Tam. And therefore Rabbeinu Tam says, that's not how it's supposed to be written. Kadesh v'haya kiviyacha. Kadesh and v'haya are.
Together
on. Mi yamin shel kore.
The right side.
So the first parsha of your tefillin, if you're looking at them, is Kadesh and Vahayaki Yachav.
From what angle, though?
The reader. If you were to open up yours, if you were to open up the tefillin, yeah. Kadesh is on the right hand side. Is on the, when you look at them, you open up the parsha, it's on the right most side. Is Kadesh Vahaya.
The box would be facing this way or the other.
If you opened it up to read it, so he says, first parsha would be Kadesh.
If you open it up from this side, or if you open it up from this side, it'd be different.
Okay, one second. No, from the vantage point of the reader.
Meaning if they're, let's say they're on somebody, I'm facing that person.
Correct. You're looking at them.
Okay.
He says, Umishmol shel korei have a shema mi bachutz, v'acharei v'hayayim shmo. How does he say they go? From the reader's perspective, Kadesh v'hayaki v'acha, v'hayayim shemo shma. Meaning, you go this way, right? Shma and v'haya go from left to right. Rabbeinu Tam.
Why?
Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, the parshiot are Kadesh v'haya v'yaki v'acha, right? V'haya again, shma. Shma and Kadesh are on the outside. The two v'hayas are on the inside.
So he's saying because it's written, those two have to be on the right. He interprets that as these two on the right and those two on the left going that way.
Correct.
Is he saying that at the end of it, or
have
to be
written? Oh, 1 second. Look. So now, these are the positions. Now look at the bolded part. Uve mechilta. Guys. Guys. Look at the bold. Uve mechilta mashma kiperish akuntres. Tosvos, the anonymous author of Tosvos, right? Remember, okay. Maybe I should take a moment for this. Who wrote Tosvos? Who wrote the Tosvos in our Gemara? Who wrote it?
The sons of Lot and
Simcha. Who wrote our Tosvos? Who?
Ben Rush.
The students of the...
So, the answer is, it depends on the Masechta, but they are all relatively late. The Baalei HaTosfot, who advanced the Tosfot's positions, are early, but our Tosfot are late compendiums of different positions of Baalei HaTosfot. Who wrote most of the Baalei HaTosfot on Shas? They're probably not Menachot, but I have to check. No. Elazar of Tuk. He's from Tuk. In Hebrew, it's written Tuk, but it's Tuk.
Where is that?
Somewhere in France, I don't know. Lazar of Tuk. Anyways, but whoever this anonymous Tosavist is, he says, Uvechilta mashma kiperish hakuntres. The Mechilta, which Mechilta? Thank you, the one when he started with. It sounds like Rashi. Parsha Vayaki V'acha Diktani Hatam Arba Mekamot Maskir Parsha Tfilin Kadesh Vayaki V'acha Shema Vayim Shemoa Mikan Amru Mitzvah Tfilin Arba Parashiot V'ad HaKdani Kotvan Kesidran Min Katvan Shalok Kesidran Yignezu Mashma Keseder Shishinan Bereisha V'yesh Lidchot B'Ktivat HaSofer Ka'amar Aval Ein Kovin B'Tfilin Keseder Zeh. He says, it sounds like who's right? Rashi! But he says, how else could you read the Mechilta? What does he say? Look! That it's only Ktivat HaSofer, Aval Ein Kovin Bitvilin Keseder Zeh. What does he say? What is it the machlok is hanging on, according to Tosfos? The anonymous Tosfos, he says, according to Rabbeinu Tam, the halacha of Kesidron is halacha in Ksiva. And therefore, is it a problem if it's out of order?
Yes.
If it's put out of order into the tefillin?
Oh, no.
No! According to Rashi, what does he say? According to Rashi, is it a problem of placement or... Good. How? What else might be the machlokas between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam? So one possibility is that Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam are arguing about whether it's about the ktiva, Rabbeinu Tam, and therefore it doesn't matter what order it's put in, or is it about the end result? Right? Which we saw was the machlokas between who? Beit Yosef and the Ran, or the Sefer Truma and the Ran. But what else might their machloket be? Is Kesidron about?
Tolan.
The Psukim or the Parashiyot. Meaning Rashi, as understood by, right? As understood by Tosvos, thinks that Kesidron is about Parashiyot. But what might Rabbeinu Tam think?
Psukim.
It's only about osios and words, but the Parashiyot can be put out of order. Why?
Because you have to keep those two on the right side.
And because, why is that not a problem with Kesidron? Why would he think that Parashiyot don't need to be in order? Where would he get that idea from?
Because
if the drasha is from Vehayu, and the Gemara in Brachot says that you're allowed to read the Parashiyot, that if you read the Parashiyot Shema out of order, you're Yotze, because Vehayu only limits what? Read the Psukim out of order. So then would putting the Parashiyot out of order be a problem?
No.
No! So there's two very different ways of reading the Machloket about Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam and Tfilin. One is that it's about whether Kesidron is about writing or the end result. Who thinks that's the Machlokes? Tosvos. Thank you. This wasn't a trick question. Tosvos thinks the Machlokes Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam about Tfilin is. Rashi thinks the end result needs to be in order, which is why your Tfilin say Kadesh Vehaya Shema v'haya, right? Or really, Kadesh v'haya kiviyacha, Shema v'haya em shemoa, right? And Rabbeinu Tam thinks that it's not about the end result, it's about the... Sorry, it's not about the end result, it's about the... When Shir is over, there are announcements. Yeah. When Shir is over, there's announcements, go in there. Okay? But the other way of explaining Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam is that it's not a machloket about whether it's the order or the process, but it's about, is it only about psukim and words, or... Good, now give me a svara. Now we have a makor, now give me a svara. Give me a svara. Give me the lumdus for it. Why would you say... We got the pasuk. Why would you think that there's no problem of putting the parshiyot out of order? Right, why does the Gemara say you're allowed to read the Parashiyot of Shema out of order?
We learned it from Behayu.
Correct! Think about it, right? Think about the logic of the Gemara. Because what? How could it be that Behayu tells you the Parashiyot have to be in order? They're not contiguous in the Torah. And therefore, is there any meaning to order when it's not contiguous?
No.
What is contiguous?
Same.
The psukim. Correct, but they're not contiguous. Great. Wonderful.
Yeah, but that's like putting the first parsha of the last parsha in swamming.
So what? They're not in order. You're reading them as are you reading this as you read in the Torah?
Yes.
No. No, you are not.
That's what I'm saying, you're not.
Correct, and that's why. No, but you're bechlal not reading it anyways. Are you reading it the way it's written in the Torah anyways?
It should be read like...
No, the way it's written in the Torah is they are svarim away. From you to get from one pasuk to the next, you've got to read thousands of psukim. I'm sorry. Okay, very simple question. If I asked you, right, please, I want you to read with my son. I want you to read him this book in order. Okay? Right? And therefore, and you go and you say, great, I'm going to read the first chapter and the last chapter. That's in order, right? What would I say to you? Yes. Or more nicer words. Well, maybe not. I don't know. No, probably I would just roll my eyes. So why are you telling me they're reading a few psukim out of Shmos and a few psukim out of Dvarim?
It's not being read in order.
When the Gemara says that I say Shema out of order,
yeah,
I'm Yotze, because the Parsha aren't next to each other anyways. Right? What's it saying? What's it saying? What's the logic?
It's not connected. They have nothing to do with each other.
Exactly.
That's like skipping from the first chapter.
No, it's not. Because do these parsha tell a story in order?
All are linked to each other. They all start from one side, seven.
Yes, you can't read the psukim in them out of order. But it's not like...
No, but there's different stories in a timeline. That's like starting from all the way to
19. I'm sorry. Nachum, which comes first in the Torah? Shema or Vayomer? No, Vayomer! Shema is Perikei in Dvarim, and Vayomer is in Parshat Shlach. Yes, that's the point. The point is the Parsha, these are part. You're not reading it in the state of the Torah anyways. So if it comes from Bahaya, you could say, look, the words have an order. But Bichlal, it's not like you're putting all the Parsha in the middle. You're just putting... You plucked out a few parshiyot, so this happens to be the order. And if you put them in a different order, so what? Right? That's like saying I put Shakespeare Sonnet 7 before Shakespeare Sonnet 9. Does anyone know what 7 and 9 is? If you do, you... I don't know why you know which numbers his sonnets are. Someone's going to tell me, you know it. Oh, but if it's Halacha Moshe Misina, you might say...
It has to be in order.
I don't know. It has to be in order.
So, why do we follow Rashi?
I mean, is it better Svara? So you'll have both killing.
Rashi's whole thing is based on Halacha Moshe Misina and Rebbe Tam.
No, we don't know what he's based on, remember? Tosfos says, no, there's two possibilities, right? Either it's about whether it's Parshiyot or Psukim, or it's about whether it's about the writing process or the end result. Right?
Right, so the Rambam says the end result.
So Tosfos says it's about end result versus process.
It's like the Ran.
It's Machlokas, right? Rashi is like the Ran, right?
Ran says the end result. Ran says it's the end result.
Correct. So, right, according to Tosos, Rashi is like the Ran, and Rabbeinu Tam is like the Beit Yosef. Now, there is a problem with this, right? Which is, what's the problem with this analysis, La Halacha?
It doesn't talk about...
Is that the Beit Yosef Paskins, is it about writing or a result?
Writing.
Writing. And how does he... Whose tefillin does he wear?
Rashi.
Right? Yes, which is why you might want to offer the second analysis. Right? Right?
And the Ron...
Right?
Does the Ron wear...
So what's the problem with that analysis? What's the... Guys, what's the analysis... What's the problem... So the second possibility is that Rashi thinks it's about... Even about Parshiot... And Rabbeinu Tam thinks it's only about Sukkim letters. What's the problem with that analysis of the Shulchan Aruch? Because guess how he poskins. So he poskins. No, look at 11. Right? Kesem Mishnah. V'amrin mechel de kasman rabbi Yisrael yignes nu vein mechalik ben parshiyot ben pevot losios. Yeah, so how you justify the Beit Yosef who poskins like Rashi and thinks... Presumably, he just thinks it's everything. Right? The Beit Yosef seems to think it's everything. It's about placement and writing and Parshiot and everything. He is the Beit Yosef. It's the same person, remember? Rabbi Yosef Karo? So Rabbi Yosef Karo poskins like Rashi, but he also poskins that it's Parshiot and it's writing and it's result and everything. So. Yeah, I don't know. He just poskins everything. Okay, I don't have to do that. Okay. But in theory, Nisvara, you could have argued that Tosfos, right? Tosfos versus Rashi and Tefillin hang on these two issues.
And then somehow we end up saying we should wear Rashi.
What?
And then somehow we end up wearing Rashi.
Yes.
Why?
It's a good question. Right? Meaning, we...
What is part of the...
Everyone does Rashi. Almost everyone does Rashi.
Is it just Chabad or Hasidim?
Even they do both. No one does just a bit of time.
Why is that, though?
What?
Why is that?
Why is what?
Meaning...
Rashi won the day.
If Rashi won the day, how come we don't do Rabbeinu Tam also? And then also, why do they do both that instead of just Rashi is Rabbeinu Tam?
I mean, Chabad do both to be Yotze both, in just in case, but the minhag is to become like Rashi. However, you justify Rashi. You can justify Rashi in many different ways.
So if Chabad had to put on one, they'd put on Rashi?
I think so. I'm not Chabad. Most people who wear, I'm pretty sure everybody who wears two pairs of tefillin say the bracha on Rashi, and then have in mind and put Rabbeinu Tam on later.
So
I think anyone starts
with Rabbeinu Tam is like the...
Yes. Correct.
That's so weird, because based on this, I'd say Rabbeinu Tam has more
sense. Plus, you like his lumdus. Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Is that a reason to start wearing Rabbeinu Tam?
Potentially, why not? Maybe. Okay, good.
Does that mean I have to get the big ones, too? What would that... Does that have anything...
Okay.
Is that halacha, or that just...
No, you can have very small tefillin.
I know, they used to, because it was cheaper.
Also, meaning you can have... But the Gemara says you can have two tefillin. Right in this space.
What? You wear two?
Yeah, you can. You can. Like, that's the size. But the size is that you could fit two. Right?
But then none of them would be centered. You have two. No. That has to be wearing it.
So that's an interesting question. I started looking into the center question, but... meaning, no, not that you would wear tefillin, but...
You can fit them, but they wouldn't be centered.
Right, so we have to. We might have to even get to tefillin what centered means. By the way, do tefillin actually have to be centered?
They have to be between your eyes.
There's the same thing? So I saw over Shabbos a fascinating shayla. Guys, I saw this shayla, I'll just tell you, I saw this over Shabbos in Rav Asher Weiss. What happens if someone has a head deformity, so the center of his head is not between, that is, between his eyes are not centered? Right? Meaning. Well, that's what he said. Is between the eyes just stand in for the middle of your head, right? Or is it literally between your eyes, right? Such that if someone would have, you know, their eyes are a little bit off center.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean enough.
I mean, it makes sense.
So that's what he's note that. He's note that to say that it has to be between your eyes.
It makes sense.
Right? But he's not 100% sure. But it's a nice shayla. I mean, not a nice shayla, because it's a sad shayla. But it's lovishly, it's a nice shayla.
What if you only have one eye?
Oh, the Cyclops. Right, Bane. I don't know.
Directly on top of your
head. No, that's between the eyes, obviously. Right. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Good. Fine. So now let's look for a moment at 14. Okay. Shulchan Aruch said the following in the context of mezuzah. Katva shel olas seder. If you write your mezuzah not in order, now remember, we paskin lahalacha. Do you have to write things in order? Yes. Right, we paskin as you the sofrim know. We paskin like Beit Yosef that were afilu shachachum to the chlovo rachat psulav in latakana. Even if you forget to one right letter, it is invalid, and there is no way of fixing it. Ve'ein tsarich lomar im hikdim parasha leparasha. And then he says something very surprising. What does he say?
Okay.
Not only is it possible, it's definitely possible to write the parasha out of order. And who jumps on this? Guess
the next one.
The Taz. Who's the Taz? Whose name was? Reb David Halevi Segal. Why was he Segal and Levi? Because Segal stands for Skan the Kohanim. Good. So he jumps on him and he says, the Beit Yosef says something that makes no sense. Until now we've said, what is the worst type of out of order? Words and letters. What's the least bad?
Parshot.
How did we get that idea?
Because there's an argument some people say you can't have it out of order.
In terms of reading, right? And we saw Rabbeinu Tam is fine with it, and what, right?
Yeah.
How can the Beit Yosef, the Shulchan Aruch say that what? That you having parsha out of order is the worst. What's the logic there? And the Taz says, what are you doing? Tamali. What does Tamali mean?
There's a typo.
What? The Tamali is, I am shocked. I am shocked.
Wow.
Right? It is a shock to me. The ifcha mistabra, this is one of the meanest things you can say, right? This is one of the harshest things. What does ifcha mistabra mean?
It's the opposite.
Yes, not just you're wrong. Ifcha mistabra is the opposite. Makes more sense, right? Meaning you are 180 degrees from the truth.
Well, there are worse things you can say.
What?
There are worse.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't...
No, for rap, okay, you're right. You're right. There are other wonderful rabbinic insults, like Imamach B'Kadkado.
Just any Yiddish.
No, Imachamami. Imamach B'Kadkado is meaner, right? That means He has no brain in his skull, which is
straight.
Or
anything from the Rambam.
Yeah, or you know, the Ravid about the Balamor, which is his Perush is a basket full of lies. You could say things like that, you know. Or whatever, you could say all types of things. Or you could say what people, you know, what the Yom Tov Shlomo said about the Migdalos, which is he violated Baal Tashkid on the ink in writing his Perush. You could say things like that, right? Like, you can be mean, whatever. Whatever. What? Yeah, that is Jewish, yeah. Look, the rabbinical insults are great.
Can we do that?
They're great.
Why is it good. Okay for rabbis to insult other rabbis?
That is a shear for another
time. What about the midos? Like,
you're
forget
so sweet.
Them?
Yes, we throw them away. Okay, good. So he says, Diyod der yesh psul bekotiv shelo keseder bahi parasha gufa bihigdim parasha leparasha. He says it's worse to write a single parsha out of order than put the parshiot out of order. Shara matzinu barachayim simin samach dalit, because we learn that in the context of karal mafrei lo yatsa, that if you read Shema out of order, you don't fulfill your obligation. Bamed dvarim amurim, what is that true for? Only b'seder ha'psukim. Aval hiktim parasha l'chaverta afal pi she'en ha'rasha yatsa l'fi she'en ha'smucha l'b'torah. But if you read V'haya and then Shema, are you Yotzei?
Yes,
V'achanami and Esmucha lo. V'ching much b'rambam. Jorei b'perek Aleph, Kazim Shem Hiptim, Odachat Shol, Gazeder lo Yatsa, U'b'perek Hei, U'trach Lachtov, Iktim Parasha, Simon Rei Sadi, Ochachri, Dada Tos, Kosher Bem, Iktim Parasha. And he says, not only is this true, it's also true Lahalacha, because which Rishon thought that writing a Parasha out of order was Yotzei?
Rabbeinu Tam.
So, right? So the Taz, unlike Shulchan Aruch, remember, sorry, Tosos thinks the Machlokes, Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam, about Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam, Tefillin, is about whether it's about writing or result. How does the Taz understand it? Whether it's about Parsha or Psukim. Right? Right? That's how the Taz understands the Machlokes, Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam. So Taz says to Shulchan Aruch, what are you talking about? How can you say that writing the parshiot out of order is worse when reading the parshiot out of order is better? And Rabbeinu Tam Bechlal thinks that what?
It's okay.
Your tefillin can have the parshiot out of order. What do you tell me it's worse? Not only is it better, Rabbeinu Tam thinks it's kosher.
Does Rabbeinu Tam say can or have to?
Have to. Yes, they have to be out of order. Right? They have to be. Raise it, Mop Happy Tome. Right? Now, by the way, why would you say, like Rashi and Beit Yosef, that writing the parashot in order is about writing them in order, not the result? We already said this. This is, but I got it from the Gra. Because what did the Mechilta say you do with parashot that are out of order?
Geniza.
Does that make any sense according to, if it's about the result?
What is Geniza?
No, what do you do?
Seamus.
What should you do?
You just
make them into tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam. Right? If it's about the result, make them into Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. Right, cut it up and mix it, right?
Brooklyn is the center of all Jewish life.
Good. So how do you defend the Shulchan Aruch from the Taz? The Taz is a pretty good raya, right? He says, how can you say that parshiot are the paradigm of Shloka Seder if in reading Shema it's Yotzei, and according to Rabbeinu Tam, the way the Taz understands it, not only is it not a problem, it is the mitzvah of Ksivas Tefillin, right? So how do you defend the Shulchan Aruch? Why would you say that writing the parshiot of order is the worst? How do you get such a svara? What? So he says like this. Good. So he says, so Harav Yinon Klein wrote an article on Kids Children. He says, it's hard to explain the Kalva Chomer, but he says, look, maybe if it's Xeris HaKasuv, so you could just say, I mean, if it's Halacha Moshe Mishnah, you could just say, okay, it's Halacha Moshe Mishnah. It's not about Vahaya. It's Halacha Moshe Mishnah. And the Beis Yosef simply thinks that what? The more things that go out of order, the worse. And what's a bigger unit? The Parsha. He just doesn't believe that it's about...
That's less than
Kedemor. It's hard. He says, alternatively, he says... And I just gave you his summary. He said, "Amnam yesh b'taretz kushyat hataz al b'divrei hagra b'vei uro shatam sheyatza kishkarada parshiyot kriyashmashel kesedran shedin ze eino elamidraban." He says the other way to do it is to say the fact that you're allowed to read tefillin out of read shema out of order, or not your yotzei to read shema out of order, is though maybe the whole iser is drabanan, and therefore that's an asmachta, which means that there is no such drasha that says that it's worse to read parshiyot to read psukim out of order than parshiyot, and therefore that holds in Zerabanan, so then it's fine. But the truth is Beis Yosef hard?
Yes.
Yes, right. The Taz is right. Right. The Taz sounds. I mean, the Taz sounds much much stronger. So what do we have so far? We have a machlokas about whether Kesidron is about. One second. Is about the writing or the result?
Yeah.
And whether it's about only parshiyot.
Or
especially parshiyot, words, right? Words and letters, right? The Taz thinks words and letters worse, parshiyot not as bad. Hence, Rabbeinu Tam thinks it's fine.
Yeah.
Right. The Beis Yosef thinks the opposite. And then the Beis Yosef himself, his position is very hard to understand. We got the Machlokas Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam, and Tfilin, which may hang on whether it's about order writing versus result or parshiyot versus psukim, right? Either one would explain their machlokas. And then we dealt with the tliya, right? The tliya issue, right? Is this about tliya or not? There is one more. I didn't think we'd get through this today, but look at this. We might actually. There is one more halacha.
We should have it for everyone.
What? Yeah, there you go. There's one more machlokas that there is here. Okay, so let's read 19 and just I've summarized this outside, but let's read it in he gets all the relevant quotes and he says, look, al pi divrei, this is number 19. Al pi divrei atotzus hana al kotzav ataz kedvarav la'el. Right, the Taz holds, as I already said, nearly that Tosfos Tzirlei that he shelo kesidron myri dafka bechad parsha atzma avalom biparsha leparta parsha kemen shenu smucha betorah. Right, so he said one way of explaining Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam is the way Tosfos does, which is result versus process. But the Taz understands the machlokas Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam is parsha versus psukim. So that's the Taz. Nekudat hakesef. Who's the nekudat hakesef?
The
Shach. So this is how it goes. The Shach responds to the Taz in the Sefer called Nekudat HaKesef. Okay? So he responds to the Taz, he says, V'atosvot lo katvu kein el dimyon v'shkach l'ashlam v'orachad v'yagud j'avi v'shal mayri shnei v'jadel dina bin etzidron v'chein kasev bedrisha. Actually, I won't go into it too deep. The point is, he does not understand it. He argues back against it. Okay. So if you just look at the summary at the end, what you get, just look at the end of this piece. He says, "Nimza shalosh shitot bin zeh." You have three shitot in the end. Din kisidron cham gamal parsha v'gamalim vodiot shubachal parsha. One position, namely Beit Yosef, is that kisidron applies to everything: words, letters, psukim, parsha. Shtayim is din kisidron chal rak al parshiyot velo al milim. There is a position that it's only on the parshiyot and not on the words, and that's the one that would say you have to the parshiyot in order, but you're allowed to have tliya, right? You're allowed to have tliya.
That's the run,
right?
Okay.
And gimel is din kisidron chal rak al milim vaotiyot shubachal parshiyot velo al parshiyot, which is how the Taz understands Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. Okay?
Got it.
So the one who really spells this out, if you look in the middle of the second paragraph here, is the Lishkat HaSofer. Right? The Lishkat HaSofer says as follows, V'nei lefidei rishonat zichon lomar dahadetani mechildin katvan shalok kisran yignazu zeorak shodav parashiyot shalok kisidran. Right? This is the Lishkat HaSofer who says that maybe... Right, there is this shita that the only type of shloka sidron that's usher is the parshiyot. She katav tchilat a parsha mucheret v'achakach and mudemet, aval katav et a parshiyot kisidran, rak she'eze otiyot o tevot katav shloka sidran, Lidlan ba me'achshe kol parasha hayta k'tuva b'shleimut kodem l'parasha mu'cheret. As long as the parasha is written in order, you can write, you can fix letters. When he says, this is how he understands the Sefer HaTruma. The Sefer HaTruma actually has two positions. And he says, right, one of the shita that says you could go back, right, you can potentially go back and fix things, right, clearly holds that, right, might just hold that it's not a problem to write a Shlo Kesidron by, right, now we said this may be about result, right, we said one reason you might be allowed to go back and be tolen in the Ran is because it's about result, but another way of justifying it, and that's the Lishkan HaSofer justifies it is, right, another way of justifying, right, now let me get this better, another way of justifying the position that you're allowed to hang the letters in the middle is not that we don't care about the result, but there's no problem of Shlo Kesidron by by individual words and letters, and that's why you're allowed to hang them. Right? So you end up having three positions. So far the two questions that we've seen are, well, three questions really. One is Tliya the same halacha as Kesidron or not? The second question was, what does Kesidron apply to? Only Parshiyot, only words and letters, or both? And the third question is Kesidron about the process or the outcome? The last question, which we have to see, you know, maybe I'll just summarize it for you outside, and then try and think. Do you want to go further, or should I just give you like a Yom Kippur cigars? I don't know, tomorrow. Maybe I'll take a break and do something else. Okay, so let me quickly, in 5 minutes, let me finish this. The last question is, we know that Kesidron does not apply to what? To Sefer Torah.
Yeah.
Then, what about Tefillin and Mezuzah? So according to the Shulchan Aruch within the Rambam, who equates Tolin and Kesidron, and Mechilta, Yerushalmi, all that. Does it apply to Tefillin, Mezuzah, or both?
Tefillin, Mezuzah.
Both. Both, yeah. Both, remember? Right? But there are two other positions. If you look quickly at the Avnei Nezer says in 21 that Kesidron only applies to Tefillin, but not Mezuzah.
Why?
Do you want to go down this rabbit hole? His proof is simply because it doesn't appear in the Mishnah of the differences between Tefillin and Mezuzah and Sefer Torah, and therefore he says it must be that we know it's true of Tefillin, we don't know it's true of Mezuzah, and therefore if it's not the difference between Sefer Torah and Tefillin and Mezuzah on the other hand, it must only be true of one of them. So he says it must be only true of Tefillin, not Mezuzah, because this way it's not a difference between Sefer Torah versus Tefillin and Mezuzah, because it's only true of Tefillin. That's his logic. He has more to it. It's a very long tshuva, but that's his basic logic. The Griz, who's the Griz? The Briska Rav, Rabbi Yitzchak Zev Halevi Soloveitchik, says the opposite. And he says it's only halacha
in Mezuzah.
In Mezuzah and not in Tefillin. Correct. And why? He says why? And he says very simply, I'll summarize for you outside. He says, why is this true? You tell me why.
It's the shortest.
No. You tell me, why is it only true in Mezuzah and not Tefillin? Because Mezuzah is?
Out of order.
No, in order. Because Mezuzah, the Parshiyot are written in order, Shman Vahaya, so we can have it in Kesidron. But Tefillin, the Parshiyot, are they in order anyway? Are they contiguous? Are they contiguous?
No.
No, they're four places in the Torah.
So is Mezuzah isn't contiguous?
Yeah. What?
Mezuzah isn't contiguous.
So this is what he said.
Shema and Shema are not contiguous.
What is it? One second, let me quickly read it. Together. No, I'm sorry, not because they're contiguous. Because I misspoke. You're right. Because, Mezuzah is always written on one cloth.
So?
And therefore it is one integrated unit. Are Tefillin written on one cloth?
Well
not the Rosh. Right, so his argument is what? Even the Yad, even when you do it B'Yad, in the end of the day, Tefillin as a Chetza, does it need to have real contiguity?
Because
no, because they're written in four separate Parshiyot, so they're not really related. And once you know that you can have a Chetza Shel Tefillin, which is not connected, then what?
It doesn't have to be Kesidron.
Then it doesn't have to be Kesidron. As opposed to Mezuzah.
Couldn't you then make a distinction that it has to be Kesidron for the Shoyad and not for the Shoyad?
You could, but he says since right? You don't have to have it, and theoretically you could be yotze, right? You can turn a tefillin, you can sew the tefillin shel rosh together to make a tefillin shel yad. You're allowed to do that. You see that bechefza, they're not fundamentally different, tefillin and yad, and since they're not sewn together, there's no real meaning to order, and therefore he says
only mezuzah.
Now he says, however, that this only, right? The only problem is what? That this assumes what? And he says it at the end, if you want to read it tomorrow, that Kesidron is about what?
The writing.
No, the result and not the writing. Because if it's about the result, so you're right, tefillin are separate from mezuzah, but if it was a halacha in writing, then you could say it
doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter what the result is. The point is the process of writing, and in that sense, we could be mechayev you to write it in order. And therefore, he argues that it's actually only halacha and mezuzah where they're always together.
So he holds like the Ran.
He holds like the Ran. He thinks the Rambam holds like the Ran. Okay, so that is... I thought it would take us 3 days, but Shkoyach, we did in 2 days. So I think we'll do a lighter sugya tomorrow, either Yom Kippur or Sukkis. Which would you rather? I don't know.
Do we have any
Sukkot?
Do we have any share after Yom Kippur?
No.
I maybe like a Skype share, or like there's a yeshiva afterwards. So maybe we'll do. So we'll do a Sukkot. Sukkot is a bit lighter. We'll see. I don't know. I'll think about it.
We do Yom Kippur because we're doing Sukkot Mikias.
Okay, I'll come up with a nice sukkah. We'll do it. Okay.